Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. This is your Tuesday Morning Show host, Julie Calamine, and I'm joined this morning by one of our very special guest hosts, Don Childress. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, Julie.
How have you been?
Oh, great. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to come in and chat with you guys.
Happy to have you. You're our guest host this morning. So for those of you just joining us, this is KRFY, Community Supported Radio for North Idaho, the Idaho Panhandle, and we are here this morning with a very special guest. We're not going to begin quite yet, but I'll at least get her introduced. We have this morning Tammy Fayen, and Tammy, are you a manager at Bonner General Health?
Yes, I'm the manager for Bonner General Home Health and Community Hospice.
Yes, so a couple of titles there and good titles. So we'll be back to you in a minute, but first we're going to talk a bit about the weather and also about goings-on in Sandpoint. Don, we've been out and about, you and me. We get out and do a lot of things outdoors, but that's been a bit interrupted by all the smoky haze.
The smoke's kept a lot of people in.
It has.
Everybody that I've talked to is talking with a raspy voice, so if mine's raspy this morning, that's the reason.
And Tammy has already apologized in advance, although she doesn't sound very raspy, but she could be. We might all be raspy this morning. Well, let's talk about the weather because I think it is improving. Today we have areas of fog and then partly sunny. It's been a lot cooler than we might expect for the end of August. Today a high of 75, tonight a low of 46, and I see the moon in my National Weather Service illustration. So maybe we'll have some clear skies tonight. Tomorrow, Wednesday, looks like we've got a high of 79 and sunny. Wednesday night, partly cloudy, a low of 47. Thursday, a high of 70 and sunny, mostly sunny. And then Thursday night, a low of 44. Same sort of story, Don. It looks like the haze is lifting. The fire smoke is going.
Yes, well, I'm not quite ready for it. Actually, it's felt kind of like fall is going to be here.
It really does feel like fall. Tammy, would you say the same?
Absolutely.
Gosh, it feels like fall. And here it is, the end of August. I know that can happen, but we'll still have many sunny summer-like days ahead. And we'll look for those here in Sandpoint, which is what we look forward to, our sunny, cooler weather, and hopefully no smoke, but it does appear that way. Now, Don, what have you been up to in the outdoors in the last week or so? Anything fun?
Well, I've been trying to get in a little bicycling, and last week, your daily Tuesday morning host and I went fishing at Kelly Creek.
We did. Partly
to get out of the smoke, and partly to enjoy the actually really good fishing there.
Oh, darn it. Now you're telling people about where we're having good fishing. That's one of the rules that we don't.
How about a secret cutthroat stream?
Oh, let's not talk about it. Anyway, the fishing has been good because the weather's been good, and we've been enjoying that late summer, and I understand you've been doing a bit of huckleberry picking, too.
Went out the other day to Roman Nose and got my supply for my breakfast cereal, yes.
Oh, good. And maybe some pancakes.
And some pancakes, of course.
One can only hope. Well, we are having a good time here in the end of summer, and that's a really wonderful thing. But let's move on to our morning show guest, and that's Tammy Fayen. Hello again, Tammy.
Hi there. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it's really good to have you. And as everyone who's listening knows, we normally talk about outdoor environmental recreation topics on Tuesdays. So this is a bit of a departure for us, but a good departure because we've got Tammy here from Bonner General Health, Bonner County, the hospital, and she's going to be talking with us about first hospice, but then other programs that Bonner General might offer. But hospice is our topic this morning. So, Tammy, why don't we start by asking you a bit about your background, how you came to be living and working here in Sandpoint?
Well, thanks so much. So I'm a nurse. I've been a nurse for 18 years now. It's been such an incredible journey and blessing. Excuse me. I've been a nurse for 28 years. Whoa. Sorry about that.
Time flies.
Yes, it certainly
does. We'd
all
like to knock 10 years off.
I know, right? I don't know. It must be my age. So I've been a nurse for 28 years, and many of those years I've actually spent in home health and offering services in the home. And 10 years ago, I actually became involved with hospice as well. So I've been at the hospital for the last 14 years. And I served initially as a home health supervisor, home health manager, and then moved into supporting the hospice department as well. And it has just been an incredible journey. Being able to offer care in clients' homes, meet their needs right where they are at home, is like no other setting in healthcare. It truly is the place that everyone wants to be, is at home. And when you can offer the services and care that they need at home to meet those needs, whatever those look like, it makes all the difference for them and for their families.
Tammy, can you tell us a little bit about the funding and the organization of hospice?
Absolutely. So I want to step back and just share with you guys, because our community may or may not know this, Bonner Community Hospice actually began back in the early 80s, and it was two different hospice organizations that were both fully volunteer organizations. One was located in Boundary County and the other in Bonner County. And eventually those organizations came to the hospital and approached the hospital about supporting hospice in a medical model and actually becoming a Medicare certified hospice, where all of the medical services could be provided under the Medicare benefit in patients' homes. And the hospital saw the beauty in the program and what is offered, and has supported hospice ever since. Those grassroots volunteer beginnings are still very strong within our organization. We actually have an average of 70 active volunteers in hospice.
Wow.
In Bonner County?
In our hospice alone. So our hospice serves both Bonner and Boundary County. And so those volunteers cover both counties as well, just like the rest of our team does. But those grassroots beginnings have really stayed strong and definitely molded our hospice into what it is, which is a very individualized hospice model of care.
And what little research I did about hospice, I discovered that it actually started in the 11th century in Europe. And in the U.S., it was started in early the 1960s, mm-hmm. I believe.
Correct.
Anything else about the history in the U.S. that you can add to that?
I can't give you a whole lot of history from the U.S., although certainly we have one of our community members that's very closely involved in our hospice that actually helped to found the very first hospice back east many, many years ago. And hospice, as we know it today, and I'll just explain a little bit about what hospice is and how we service our community. So Bonner Community Hospice is an in-home hospice, which means we bring the professionals to our community members' homes. So we have a volunteer physician, actually. We have nurses, social workers, CNAs. We have chaplains, volunteers. And then we have a complement of therapy services as well. And we bring those services directly to that person wherever they live. It might be their own home. It might be their family's home. It could be a facility. But we bring the hospice care to them, which is a little different than some people know of an inpatient hospice as well. And Medicare supports both the community hospice as well as the inpatient hospice care models. The inpatient hospice that we have, the only one in North Idaho, is actually located in Hayden, and it's Hospice of North Idaho. They have an inpatient unit that provides hospice care inpatient. But Bonner Community Hospice, we spread out and cover the entire county, literally from the Kootenai County border all the way up to Canada, and then the Washington border to the Montana border. And we will provide services, hospice services at home to our community members that live in the two counties.
All right, so we're going to back up just a minute, and I'd like to ask you, Tammy, how did you get involved in hospice itself? How did that come about?
It came about as a natural move throughout the hospital, actually. We looked at combining, actually, the position for home health and hospice manager, and I have had, at that time, quite extensive experience in the home and providing care in the home, and was able to apply for that position and become involved that way. Our hospice team is absolutely amazing. We have nurses who have worked with Bonner Community Hospice for 30 years. And some that have worked less, of course, but we have such a breadth of experience, knowledge, and expertise within our team.
We're lucky, considering that hospice hasn't been around that long in the U.S., and then to have this much experience. I'm not sure that everyone understands hospice, the definition of it, or understands it the same way. Why don't you define hospice for us?
Thank you. And hospice is a broad definition. So most people think of hospice as the very last resort. Last few days, no choices, no hope. I've been diagnosed with a terminal diagnosis. I don't have long to live. It's time to consider hospice. In reality, hospice is a journey. Hospice, if an individual chooses hospice, hospice can help to support their journey. Here at Bonner Community Hospice, our average length of stay is only about 22 days, which is heartbreaking to me. The national average is almost three times that much. It's difficult for people to come to that place where they accept hospice because they don't necessarily know what it is. Most people truly think when they choose hospice, they're giving up hope. Hospice truly is about living. It's about experiencing the highest quality of life through the end of your days. The hospice benefit is actually available to someone who has been diagnosed with a terminal diagnosis, meaning their physician recognizes that if their disease, injury, or illness was to take its normal course, the physician would not be surprised if that person's life naturally ended within about a year. Most people think it's the last, like I said, the last few days,
yes,
last few weeks.
I think that's true. We think hospice is for the last few days of life.
Right. And it's truly not. It is really about, it's a medical benefit. It's a benefit available under Medicare, Medicaid, most private insurances. Of course, being not-for-profit, it doesn't matter whether or not you have a funding source for hospice. We do accept everyone, regardless of their ability to pay. The beauty of hospice is that we come into the home, and again, we have professionals. We have the physician, we have the nurse, we have the social worker, we have the entire complement of team who comes in to help support someone's individual goals, whatever those look like. It might be that they can manage their pain or their nausea, or their symptoms with their muscular disease are better managed. It's a medical management is really what it is. But what we do in the home, once we begin to partner with that person and their family, is we support all aspects of their care, psychosocial, spiritual, the care environment itself, and really able to help someone have the very highest quality of life for the end of their days. There is not a maximum on the hospice benefit. So while a physician might say, I believe hospice is appropriate now, I would not be surprised if the illness took its normal journey and you were to pass in the next year. We've actually had only, and I can only remember one, but we had one gentleman on our services for 3 years. And
amazing.
He truly was terminal. He was truly dying day by day. He had a respiratory disease. He got down to like 80 some pounds. He was still in his home, enjoying his family. His symptoms were tremendous, but he had a will to live. And he was really, he was just walking that journey very slowly. And so it was very, very appropriate for hospice to be there and support him. But that was quite an extended stay with us.
Tammy, most communities have a hospice service, and some of them have several of them. Is there a national standard for what care is given at hospice? How's that work?
Absolutely. So the hospice benefit under Medicare, and most all insurances mimic that, so mimic what the Medicare benefit is. Under hospice, a person chooses to elect the hospice benefit, which means... their Medicare benefit is diverted to some respect to hospice. And so anything that has to do with their terminal illness or disease, any medications, any equipment, all medical care, that becomes the hospice's responsibility. So those are things that are all provided under the hospice benefit. And generally, there's not any responsibility that the person has financially with that.
Mm-hmm.
Hospice is not paid much to manage that every day, but that is what happens. So when you look at, there's a statistic recently that about 44% of Medicare's population, the most dollars, for about 44% of dollars are spent at very end of life.
Yeah.
And if you think about how, and I have to say, hospice is a bargain, okay? It's a very minimal amount that the hospice receives every day to manage that care. But when you think about being able to be at home with your family, having your needs met, all your medical needs, all your equipment needs, all of your symptom management needs, and you're able to do that at home, those dollars saved are tremendous for our nation, but the quality of life and the satisfaction that not only the family, but the person who's receiving the services has is tremendous.
And our own community has the deep pockets of Bonner General Hospital behind them. There are some that don't have that. They're more privately run. How are they managed?
So Bonner Community Hospice is a not-for-profit hospice. And what I have heard from our community, because our community has experienced for-profit hospice care as well as not-for-profit, and the for-profit care, while hospices are required to offer the same basic services as I shared, the medication, the treatment, the equipment, and any care that's associated, we are all required to offer the same thing. How that looks might be a little different in a not-for-profit versus a for-profit. I've understood from our community the number of visits we tend to make to a person's home and the individualized care that we offer looks a little different than our for-profit providers.
Can you expound on that a bit more or not so much? No.
I can only share what's been, what has come forward to me.
Sure.
As experience from our community. But the basic benefit is the same. I would encourage anyone who's looking at making a choice for hospice and looking at what hospice has to offer to really maybe do their homework and interview the hospice and find out what policies and processes are in place and, is there a limit to the number of visits that a hospice would provide or what is their response time? What is their availability? Those kinds of things are very, very important when you're dealing with end of life.
Sure. A minute ago, you were talking about hospice being a value to the community because so much money is spent at the end of life, and no one probably wants to think of their end of lifetime as, trying to be a bargain or something like that. But it is a big problem because so often people are in the hospital having rather invasive procedures happening, spending incredible amounts of dollars. It happened to both of my parents, so I'm familiar with the scenario. And the outcome is still not what that person would have wanted. They're in the hospital. Things are being procedures are happening to them that won't extend their life. They know that their life is not going to, they know they're at the end of life. And I feel like in the case of my family, I feel like there wasn't counseling that would have helped them get to hospice when they could have or should have. Mm. And it's not about a bargain. I mean, no one wants to say, okay, I want to save a little money on my parents' end of life. We don't want that, but
right. We
want them to be comfortable. And I have to say, I don't think that happened with my parents. They didn't end up in hospice.
Tammy, we talk most about end of life for older people. There are so younger people who need end of life. Do you Do you have hospice care for that?
Absolutely. So we, I'll just share briefly. We have cared for infants all the way up to, I think our oldest recipient was about 103. Okay. So, you know, unfortunately, terminal illness and disease happens at all stages of life. And very unfortunately, we are seeing younger and younger people come to needing our services.
Yeah. So, you know, we're just talking about thinking about dollars spent and that sort of thing. And I'd like to return to that thought and how people can, how families and how patients can think about hospice. Let's talk about that, because I think there's a perception that, you know, we've given up on people, and you mentioned it earlier, but how do you all work on getting around that? Because I'm certain that my parents resisted the idea of hospice.
So, just to share briefly, in our community, many times, the physician caring for a person or their family could have been a physician involved with that family since the birth of their children or since their birth.
Yes.
And it is difficult at times, regardless our community or other communities, it is difficult at times for physicians to come to that place to say, I think it's time to consider hospice, because they feel, even though they understand what hospice is and they see the benefit in it, giving that communication to a person can feel as if you, the physician, or you, the provider, are giving up on that person. That can be that patient's perception. So it's a matter of really having those conversations. And I'm so thankful you asked the question, because we need to be having conversations with our families, with our loved ones. If you're 18 years or older, it's really important your family knows exactly what you want and what that would look like. You cannot predict necessarily what your journey will be or what illness, injury, or disease might come your way. But if your family understands the basics of what you want for care and you've had those conversations, the example that you gave, Julie, as far as your family, your parents, that can look very different when needs are understood. And so often the scenario you gave again, when someone comes into the hospital because they're ill, they're very ill, and the immediate response is, unless that person is saying, I don't want anything done, then of course the providers are going to begin to do testing and figure out what's going on and maybe go further down the line. And oftentimes those tests, like you said, they may not improve the quality of life. And in all honesty, that's precious time that is being spent going through processes that may not be that person's desire. So it's so very important to have those conversations. And Bonner Community Hospice, I myself personally am involved in a palliative care coalition that is just beginning for all of North Idaho, for the 5 northern counties. And that is our mission, is to educate our communities about having those conversations early on, making sure that your family, your loved ones know exactly what you want, so that when it does come time to make those decisions, it comes naturally.
Yeah, and go ahead.
There's certainly a huge psychological component to this, and my feeling is, from knowing people who have had more or less heroic procedures done a month before they've actually died, mm-hmm. It seems like what they're trying to deliver is hope more than anything. Mm-hmm. And I can see where some good psychological counseling would really benefit probably the patient as well as our tax dollars.
Right. Well, and asking those questions, really knowing what you want that end result to be as the patient. What do I want the end result to be? Do I want more time? Yes, if you want more time, then what are those options and what does that look like? We do have a palliative care physician here in our community. She's here just once a week right now. Her name is Dr. Pelly, and she works through the Kootenai Cancer Center. And that's exactly what she does, is she sits down and and works with individuals to look at what are they facing, what are their options, what are their goals, what is the best quality for them, and then to help them be able to come up with that decision on their own.
And let's just talk about palliative care. What is it? I bet everyone, I'm guessing not every listener knows what that is, what it means. Tell us a little more about it.
Palliative care is basically, I look at it as a bridge between all of us walking mainstream medical care to hospice. So palliative care is where you're really looking at maybe still pursuing some curative or aggressive types of treatments, but looking at those options and that road of where do I want this to take me ultimately. So you've got palliative care. We actually offer a community-based palliative care program under our home health department. And again, that's going to be professionals who are partnering. It'll be nurses, social work, CNAs, therapists who are partnering with your community physicians to help you walk that journey. You've been diagnosed with a terminal or life-limiting illness, but maybe it's early on in that diagnosis and you're still looking at what options you might choose along the way. And the palliative care team can help to help to guide that. No one's making those decisions but you. But when you've got professionals who are helping to educate, understand, and process through that journey, you can make the decision that makes the best sense for you.
Is home health, is that different than hospice?
Is it a
different organization within our community?
It is. Mm-hmm. So home health is another home-based medical program. It is covered by Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurances again. As I mentioned, we have a whole complement of team. We have nursing, social work, CNAs, and therapists who provide care in the home. We are, our care is guided by the community physician, and it's a spectrum. It's, again, birth all the way through death.
And are your clients, patients, could they be the same person, or is there a different criterion?
It is a different criteria. So under home health, most times, depending on the payer, the person needs to be considered homebound, which means it's a considerable taxing effort for them to leave home. And they must require the skills of a nurse or a therapist. So they have whatever care they're needing, whether it be wound care, management of their cardiac issues, their respiratory issues, post-surgical, whatever they're needing in the home has to have require the skills of a nurse or a therapist. That looks different than hospice. Hospice is basically diagnosis and life expectancy driven, where home health is clinical need and skilled need driven.
Good, thank you.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short song break and come back with some additional questions about hospice and then maybe move on to some of the other programs that Tammy's been working with at Bonner General. For now, we're going to be listening to John Craigie, recently at the festival, bringing us Solo. And that was John Craigie with Solo Journey. Kind of a good song for this topic.
Seems appropriate, doesn't it?
Yes, it is a solo journey, isn't it? Even with all the support that we have, at the end, it is a solo journey. Well, for those of you just joining us, this is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. If you're just joining us now and haven't heard our entire program, know that you can go to krfy.org and listen to our podcast. I'll post that later today or tomorrow, so you'll be able to hear the entire program if you're interested. And once again, we are joined this morning with Bonner County General Health, Tammy Fahan. She's a healthcare manager and focusing on hospice, but many other programs. We're not quite done talking about hospice, though. Don, you mentioned you've got a few more questions.
Yes. Of course, the family goes through end of life as well as the patient. Does hospice have any bereavement services available?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. So we do. Part of the hospice benefit is that we support the person's support team, whether it be family, friend, whoever that is, for a minimum of 13 months following their passing. And we do that in a number of ways. We have an adult grief group, which is a supportive group. And we also have classes that we offer coping with grief. And actually, these are not open to only hospice families. These are open to our community without any charge. Anyone from our community can take advantage of these programs. We also do some pretty thorough bereavement follow-up. So we're touching base. The social workers who have been involved in that loved one's care all throughout hospice will also reach out and talk with the family members following their loved one's death. Sometimes people don't want to talk to us. They just feel like they're doing things okay on their own, and they don't necessarily want our involvement, but others do. And that gives us the opportunity to support them, whether it be one-on-one or in a group setting.
Tammy, we talked about 44% of the healthcare dollars are in the last few months of life. I would imagine that inpatient care versus at-home care has quite a difference in cost. What's the percentage of patients that request your home care services versus an inpatient care? Do you have any idea?
You know, I don't have that specific statistic, but I can tell you nationally, when people are polled, 75% of people will say they would like to die in their home. But of that 75%, only 25% do.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. There's I know you mentioned that you have quite a few volunteers. What training do your, for lack of a better word, grief professionals undergo? There may be some of our listeners that would be interested in this.
Yeah. So our bereavement team is multifaceted. We have, as I mentioned, our master social work prepared clinicians who kind of lead our bereavement team, and they have that initial contact with family and loved ones. We have bereavement counselors, and those are individuals. They may be professional counselors in our community. They may be volunteers who have trained through supporting through bereavement. And that looks a little different for each person, depending on their own background. But we do have regular bereavement trainings and support for those on our team who are offering that to our community.
It's important to have the volunteers, and the volunteers must make a difference. And I guess the question that I have is, how do you find those folks? Have they had a personal experience? Where do they come from?
They come from all walks of life. So someone who chooses to volunteer with hospice obviously has a heart to serve others and has a passion for meeting individuals' needs as they're going through this journey. We do have a handful of volunteers who have personally experienced the loss of a spouse, a parent, even a child. And we have other volunteers who just are drawn to serving others as their passion in life. So we do have quite a spectrum. And our volunteers are honestly absolutely amazing. They provide anything from the support with our kids camp, which I haven't talked about. It's a weekend once a year that is open again to our entire community for children age 8 to 17 who have experienced a loss of some kind. And it's a weekend camp that's offered to them, and they're able to go and experience and understand and leave there knowing that they're not alone and that there are others going through that. And it's such a tender age for those children to have lost someone. So it's an amazing support. We've got a dedicated group of volunteers who help us to manage that kids camp every year. We have volunteers who help with the grief and the bereavement programs. We have volunteers who do things in the home, from sitting with someone to maybe building something or doing some dishes or some meals for them, just being available to support. We have what we call our vigil team, which is absolutely priceless. This is a really dedicated group of individuals who choose to go in and remain at the bedside of someone in their last hours. And that vigil can go on from a few hours to days. And it's a team that partner together to make sure that that person has someone at their side. And it may be the person choosing to have that vigil team might be someone who's in a facility who doesn't have family. It might be someone at home whose family is just really worn out and they just need a little extra support, or they don't want to be alone with that person when they pass away.
Yeah.
So gamut of support that our hospice volunteers provide. They also help us with our fundraising activities.
Oh,
so
good.
Amazing.
And so many of us, you know, we think about that moment when our life is coming to an end, and whether it's us or whether it's a loved one, we always think it would be, you know, none of us want to be just alone as we're passing away. And so what a wonderful service that the family can know that they can go get a little rest and still have someone with the patient.
Mm-hmm. Tammy, to wrap this up, does the hospice have a mission statement?
We do, absolutely. And that is basically to meet the end-of-life needs of our community at home. Hmm. Very simplistic.
Simple and yet perfect, really. Yeah. Hmm. Tammy, we have had a great talk about hospice, and we know that there are many, many social programs that Bonner General offers. You've got time. Why don't you offer us some contact information for hospice, and then just, if you would, point out the other programs that you're working on that you feel are important for the community to know about.
Well, and I'm going to focus my communication just on the hospice programs that we have.
Perfectly fine.
Our contact is 208-265-1179. Again, that's 208-265-1179. And just to kind of share, anyone who is wondering, is hospice appropriate for me or for my loved one, or not quite sure what it's about, feel free to just simply call us and ask the questions. We're there to support. We've got I keep saying the word amazing, but our team is truly vested, committed, and dedicated to hospice, and they are passionate about what we do and love to help answer questions. It does take a physician's order for hospice services to begin. So, there is involvement with your community physician, and just so you understand, because sometimes there's a question from the community as to whether or not hospice services are offered appropriately. Hmm. And just so that everyone understands, in order for someone to be admitted in the hospice program, their community physician, as well as the hospice physician, must both certify that they believe this person is appropriate to receive the services as outlined under the Medicare benefit.
Which means roughly their life will not go beyond the next 12 months, basically.
Right.
Yeah. I see. So does it make sense for the patient or the patient's family to, of course, ask questions or ask for that referral?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know what? It often takes the patient directing that and asking those questions in order for a referral to come forward.
Sure. And as you said, the stays in hospice are relatively short. And so a person might, as you say, make the request. And if they make the request, are they expected to enter hospice then as soon as they're approved? Is that how it works? Or
so when we hear from a person or their physician about the desire to accept hospice, then we go through a process of talking with the patient and their family, identifying their goals, and setting up a time where we can come and meet with them. When we do meet with them, we go through what the program has to offer. And if that is something they want to move forward with, then we move forward at that time.
All right.
It's always patient-driven.
Can they, basically what I'm trying to understand is, can a person get a referral for hospice and be approved and then not be quite ready, but knowing that it will be soon and delay a bit and then enter hospice? Can it work that way?
Yeah, we often see that where a physician has encouraged someone to accept hospice. They're not quite ready. They might talk with us, but kind of hold us at arm's length for a little while.
Sure.
and then will let us in. Oftentimes, when that happens, they don't choose to let us come in and help to serve them until the very end. Mm. And I will share with you an important fact, and that is, you know, in our bereavement programs, we tend to see more community members coming through our grief and our bereavement programs than we do our hospice clients' families. Mm-hmm. And what that shows me is, you know, really that support that's provided to those families during that journey of hospice and those last few months or days or whatever that looks like, really helps that family to be in a place to process through, and maybe sometimes a little easier if that can
yes.
be done.
So they might understand the benefits of hospice, albeit a bit late at times, but they've been benefited, and then makes them willing to want to work with you for other services such as grief counseling. And as we finish hospice, let's just take a minute, because I know you don't want to get off topic very much, but that is sort of the natural progression, right, from hospice into maybe some grief counseling.
Right. So, yeah, and we touched on that. Mm-hmm. We do have, and I'll just share, we have what's called Coping with Grief, which is a program that's offered throughout the year. It's currently being offered beginning Wednesday, September 19th, and it happens on Wednesday evenings right there at hospice. And it is a class. It's an 8-week class to kind of gain tools and gain a network of support as you're going through grief. Those are 3-hour classes. And then we also have an adult grief group, which happens twice a month on Thursday evenings from 6 to 7:30. And again, that's a group of, you know, it's really a support group. So there are a number of different individuals and being led by a counselor. And it gives those going through the process just a means to express their concerns and find that support in those coping measures. We also have a group that is specific to parents who have lost children. And most unfortunately, you know, I think we all believe that our children should never go before us. It does happen, and it is tremendous, and it is an open place that just never heals. And we do have an ongoing support group on the first and third Tuesday of the month from 5:30 to 7:00. And anyone who is interested in any of these support groups or classes, please simply just call hospice, again, 208-265-1179, and we can get you connected.
Perfect.
And
we
haven't mentioned anything about charges for these classes. Are these free to the community members?
They're free to everyone. It's a community benefit that Bonner Community Hospice chooses, and Bonner General Health chooses to give back to our community. Well, it's a huge benefit.
Quite a gift that you give mm-hmm. the community. These are really important topics. Well, we're coming to an end of the program. And Tammy, if you haven't mentioned contact information that we have, I'll ask you to just mention it one more time.
Okay.
If there's anything else or what we've got already.
Perfect. So again, our phone number for any questions, any of the classes, any of our services, 208-265-1179.
Very good. And that's just the best way.
Mm-hmm. Phone Absolutely. Call.
All right. Very good. Well, Don and I would like to thank you for joining us this morning. What an interesting topic. It's a very heavy topic, but an important topic. And we thank you for coming in.
Yeah, thank you, Tammy. This is something that we all will deal with at some point. And so it's good for us to all know what's going on. Thank you
for allowing me to be here. I appreciate it.
Yes, very good. Well, we're going to take a song break and then be back with some information about upcoming radio shows and also upcoming community events. And so we'll take a moment and listen to Sam Bush with Spirit is the